paid into Medicare for decades. Don't spend retirement limping. The Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. It's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000.
WGN. It's Dane Neal in the Allstate Showcase studio on the line. He travels the world on tour, making music and millions of fans happy. He's the guitarist for legendary rock star Rod Stewart, but he has always had a lot of his own fans for his own award-winning work for television, for movies, and now we have one more thing to appreciate as his self-titled album is released. It's the one and only, and of course, Chicago's very own Emerson Swinford. Welcome to WGN.
Dane, thank you. Thank you for having me back.
Well, we have you back in the States for just a little while, but you're going to be getting on a plane, traveling, touring the world. It's exciting stuff, but it's what you do.
Yeah, well, you know, the funny part about that, since you bring it up, is things, as you're trying to get ready to go on tour, things that have never gone wrong, like around your house, go wrong, like plumbing backs up, my dog broke her tooth and had to get it extracted. Just like stuff, like, why couldn't this happen a month ago? You know? So, but yeah, I'm excited to get out there. And with all those things aside, we're going to be in Europe for like 2 months all over. If you go to rodstewart.com, you'll see that if you happen to be in Europe. But we will be in the States too, back in Vegas in August. And
nice.
On the East Coast, there's a few dates. Couple dates. I don't, to tell you the truth, I just live about 1 or 2 weeks at a time, and I don't look too far in the future, but we're booked. We're going to keep working, and Rod is he's a workhorse, and he loves it.
Yeah. Well, when you're at home, regular stuff happens that everybody can relate to, you know, like dog dental issues and things like that. But also, you get some time to sit down, and instead of necessarily helping play some of the iconic songs and music, you get to write some of your own stuff. And you've been, of course, over the years, you know, in bands, collaborative, or working on projects where maybe they say, okay, Emerson, here's what we're looking for. But this stuff, this album, it's all you.
It's all me. Yeah. This was stuff. Some of this actually came out because I was writing. Sometimes when Rod's writing, he wants little tracks, you know, just a couple guitars, something to inspire him, you know, drum beat, couple guitars, simple stuff. And I ended up with sort of a surplus of ideas. And, you know, I was like, you know, I should do a little EP or something, you know, 6 songs and sell it at shows. And one thing led to another, and it blossomed further than I expected it. So, yeah, it's a full album, and I ended up singing on it and playing most of the instruments. And I just wanted to do something that had no commercial sort of motivation. Like, I didn't want to write a 2.5-minute song for radio that was catchy and, you know, but that being said, I think it's still accessible. You tell me. You've heard it.
Well, here's the thing about it. And you think of all the different things that you've done. Of course, being into a bunch of different bands. We talked on the air about some of them that you liked, like a ELO and Rush and kind of everything in between, right? And so all those influences are on the album, and just the stuff that you do in your everyday life and in your kind of rock and roll vocation, you're just in touch with all of it. So there is everything on this album, from very cool stuff. It's very, very smooth. It's very cool. But the influences go everywhere from what I think feels kind of Pink Floyd-ish to even some country stuff. And there's some really awesome blues on there too.
Yeah. Beatley stuff is some, you know, I mean, it's hard for me not to have that influence. There's one tune on that's sort of like what I call sort of Chet Atkins, you know, just guitar picking, but primarily sort of rock, maybe even classic rock influenced. You know, I like the old sound and you know, trying to sort of emulate that in not only my playing, but the recording process. And so that's something. As a tune would develop, I kind of go, oh, this sounds, you know, like you said, like Pink Floyd or something, and sort of go in that direction, not, you know, mimicking it, but just go like, yeah, this sounds like a Pink Floyd-y tune, you know, and go with that. So that's probably what you're picking up on there.
Well, and it's easy to listen to, and of course the guitar playing is front and center too. So was it the kind of thing where you tried to take, hey, I love all this stuff, I want to get a couple different kinds of tunes in there, or was did it just happen kind of organically? Like, what was that process where you're saying, oh, this has got to get on the album?
Yeah, well, it's exactly the latter, the more organic thing, where it was just like, if I had an idea and I thought it was good, no matter, you know, like I said, the Chet Atkinson doesn't necessarily fit with a Pink Floyd in a commercial world. They would be like, oh, you know, this is cool, but don't put that on. I was just like, whatever seemed like a good idea, you know, was good enough for me. And some things did crash and burn as they developed. And you know, I just sort of had to filter it out and go, am I digging this or not? You know, so that's what basically what ended up on there. And there's actually some tracks sitting on my hard drive that I go, okay, album number two, you know, this was a good idea. I just didn't hit it out of the park in time. And I did want to get this done before going on tour and starting the summer touring thing so I can sell them at shows, which Rod lets us, the band members, do.
That's very cool.
Merch.
Well, yeah. Music has obviously always been your passion, but it's always been, for the longest time, work, too. So, I mean, it is a lot of work that you do in being part of some of the biggest stuff that's going on. But give the listeners a little insight into the work of creating an album. I mean, you've been involved with so many different things throughout the years as far as the production of things. But, of course, on the back it says all songs written, performed, produced, and mixed by you, Emerson Swinford. So how hard was it to pull it all together?
Some of it's hard and some of it's really easy. I mean, a lot of the instruments play, you know, playing the bass or something, I love it and I'm having a blast. Mixing is difficult. It's not really, you know, something I love, but it's a sort of a necessary evil, you know. It's like I hear things a certain way and I can hand it off to somebody and pay them to do it or sort of get it done exactly. So maybe that's just the control freak aspect in my personality going, you know, I want to do this exactly how I hear it. But yeah, that's sort of that process, you know, how that goes down.
And you know, some of these things that you mentioned, you know, kind of picking up things here, writing stuff on tour. How much did you have when you got back home, maybe around Christmas time, the last time that we talked, like how much did you have all written and you just had to like kind of get it into like the finished form, or were you writing songs, you know, up until you just got it done?
Yeah, I was writing songs, you know, it's like I said, some things I was like, oh, this is good, but now I've got a better idea, you know, and there was a couple, I think the second song on the record called Someone Like You, I just woke up in the middle of the night, maybe in January or February, I was like, I've got this idea and, you know, I've been playing music long enough that I could sort of hear the chords and what I wanted. So I groggily grabbed my, you know, iPhone and say, well, you know, while my wife is sleeping next to me, I'm like, who knows how this is affecting her dream state, but, I'm singing these lyrics into my phone and, you know, woke up the next morning and started recording it. And, so yeah, that came together quickly. I think I had another one or two like that where it was just like sort of knocked it out at the last minute. But I definitely had this deadline in my head, which was March, and now it's May. So, it, you know, close, but yeah, you know, I'm just glad to have it done. And I'm happy with the results, you know, as happy as a neurotic artist can be. Sometimes I go, oh, maybe it's the worst thing and everyone's going to laugh at me. And then I go, you know what, I did what I did and I enjoy it. And I'm getting great feedback from people who purchased it. That's great. By the way, it is available at emersonswinford.com. And I can send you that link if you have a place I can post it there at WGN.
Yeah, we'll definitely have the links up and all that stuff, plus iTunes eventually.
Yeah, it's going to be on iTunes hopefully in the next couple days, and it's also at CD Baby, but on my website I'm signing as many copies as I can before I leave, so that's it's basically the same price everywhere for the physical copy, which is $12.99, and
it's not bad at all.
$9.99 at iTunes. But you don't get my digital signature on iTunes, so there.
Right. That's right. You're really old school, right? You get the actual physical copy.
Yeah, right.
It's an important thing. Now, you talked a little bit about some of the influences, and you mentioned Chet Atkins, and we talked about the Beatles and maybe some Floyd, and of course there's things in there. Was like for you, you've done so many different things. Like what are you? And I've seen, you know, posted either on your Facebook, like you with, you know, a guy like Brian May or maybe Jimmy Page and, you know, or some of those people that you've got to either meet or work with. Like what were your influences guitar wise growing up or even now?
Well, you know, a lot of those guys like Jimmy Page, Eric Clapton. I'm a huge Hendrix nut. Jeff Beck, obviously. Yeah, Brian May. You know, it's almost just like those classic rockers. It's like, you know, maybe some people will think it's predictable, but it's like that's the stuff I always go back to. It's like the for me, the drinking from the original well or something. I just go, man, it, like, you know, it does. There's more people that I also like. Eric Johnson. I do a song. The first song on the record is sort of a nod to him. And he's, I don't know if a lot of people know him, but he's an amazing guitar player. But a lot of those guys out of the late 60s, I don't know, that just rings my bell.
You know, when you get a chance, and obviously with Rod Stewart and people see you on tour in Europe and then coming back in August at some select locations around the United States playing with Rod Stewart, and we've talked about it in the past, you get to play some of really the greatest, you know, songs in music, in rock and roll kind of history, ones that everybody mm-hmm. knows. That's got to be cool. But on the guitar side, is, you know, as you just go around, you know, moving in the circles and doing the things that you do, and you get to run into some of these guys that have been an influence. I always wonder, you know, and I get to meet, you know, a fair amount of relatively famous people, and occasionally there'll be people that I was fans of in whatever capacity or still a fan of in what they do. And you always wonder, like, you want to be able to share that, but then you're thinking, well, isn't that what everybody probably says? So what is it like when you guys as contemporaries get together?
Well, I definitely don't put myself in, like, meeting Jeff Beck or Brian. For me, it's like meeting, you know, God. I'm like,
I don't mean it being like, you know, that you're on that exact same level career-wise. Yeah. Certainly have a long way to go. But you're there, you know, you're not just, you know, a fan clamoring, asking them to sign your chest or something, right? You're doing it too.
Yeah, I don't know. Some guys are so, you know, like you mentioned Brian May. Some guys are so humble. They're just like, yeah, you know, they just seem like, yeah, we're in it together, sort of like. And I'm like, no, you're Brian May. Like, let's get this straight. You know, I don't know. It's some guys are just so amazingly humble. Another thing about Brian May, which is incredible, he's like an astrophysicist.
Like, what?
Oh, dude. Oh, yeah. Go. He's got a degree from like Cambridge or I'm probably screwing it up, but, you know, Oxford or something like that. You go, you're like, oh, it's not good enough that you're like the most amazing rock guitar player, you know, top 10. You're also an astrophysicist. You know, you're like,
right.
What the hell?
Come on. Well, but what's cool to hear is that he's really humble about it. And I mean, didn't he actually make his own guitar? Isn't like a one of a kind guitar that he made himself?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then he used throughout his career. That's pretty impressive guy, you know.
Well, the work that you put here, I think people are going to love. They're going to be impressed with, obviously, the blues side of thing. And before we let you go, I wanted to ask about, is you're so good at it. It would be great to hear just you do kind of a blues album. Of course, here in Chicago, we've got an affinity for it and around the world, but it's really awesome.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, man. You know, that's the thing is, when I did the record, it's like, oh, I don't want to do too much of this, or I don't want to. I guess that's my personality. It's sort of like, I like one thing, and I like it intensely, and then, you know, I also like this thing, you know, so I didn't want to just do blues because I don't know why. I just, I guess that's why the album sort of reflects,
yeah,
you know, me pretty honestly in that, yeah, I love blues. It's something I'm really passionate about. But then I also like Pink Floyd, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's like little bits and pieces. So I think that's one thing I'm really happy about the record. It's just like, you know, this sort of reflects me. I didn't put on any of, there's one tune that gets a little sort of Stone Temple Pilots heavy or something, but I'm also, you know, I also really was into metal bands and stuff like that. So I didn't do much of that, but, you know, I didn't do much. I play a little bit of jazz and I didn't do much of that.
Well, what it is that like all those things and as good as you may be at them, none of them define you. So I agree. It's nice to put a nice variety of things that you like on there. And of course, it's going to be things that people are going to appreciate and like as well. At EmersonSwinford.com, they can get information about the album. They can get the album. It's going to be available at iTunes. And if you happen to be, and who wouldn't be, at one of the Rod Stewart shows coming up over the next handful of months, they're going to be on sale there as well. So I think it's great. I know lots of fans are going to think the same thing too and enjoy it. They enjoy what you do, of course, working with Rod Stewart. They're going to love the fact that you've got this out, an original work with all of your own tunes, own influences, and of course the great guitar playing. Emerson Swinford is the name of the album. And Emerson, one more time with a couple places where people can get it.
iTunes event, hopefully in the next 2 days, CD Baby, and EmersonSwinford.com.
He is one of the very best in the business, on the road with some of the best of all time. EmersonSwinford.com. And Emerson, be safe out there. Travel safe. Enjoy what it is that you do as people enjoy along with you. And then thanks so much for being in WGN.
Yeah, Dane, thank you for having me. And thank you, Chicago.